Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
At long last, we're stopping the drug companies and foreign countries from rigging the system. I know all about the rigging the system because I had the system rigged on me.
President Trump speaking out yesterday about the Mueller probe and welcoming Joe Biden into the race against him in the Democratic primary. Good luck, Joe. By the way, we've got a poll up on our Facebook page. Tell us what you think, because he's made it official. Yep. Crazy Uncle Joe this morning said that he is in the race for president as a Democrat. He sort of, if you look at the video, and we'll post it, we post a link
it's
to
up
it.
There.
It's up there on 971talk.com/Cox. He sort of has a furrowed brow, and he warns you that America is about to fall apart unless you elect him president. I think he's going to have a tall task ahead of him to beat the 19 other people in this race once all of those votes consolidate into a progressive vote. But we'll see what happens. Tell us what you think. Go to the poll and take the poll there on a Facebook page, the Mark Cox Show on Facebook, and let us know if you think that whether or not Joe can pull this off. He seems to think that he can. I don't know. I think he sounds like Batman in his video. Play us a clip from the video, please. Oops, sorry.
That's why today I'm announcing my candidacy for president of the United States. Folks, America's an idea. An idea that's stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant.
Yeah.
You don't screw around with me.
So the let the Biden gaffe tapes begin, and we'll see what happens. Anyway, he's in, and we don't know who else might still announce. I guess Stacey Abrams is about the only one left who hasn't made a decision, right?
The only name we know of, but they've got these people that I've never heard, at least I've never heard of announcing, so you just never know.
Yeah, so we're keeping an eye on that. Coming up at about 8:10, we have invited Mark Krikorian to join us from the Center for Immigration Studies. The White House pointed this out, but there's the another migrant caravan coming up through Mexico. It just arrived in Mexico City, 10,000 people strong. So we're getting 80, 90, 100,000 people a month coming across the southern border, but there's nothing to see here, according to the Democrats. So we're going to talk to Mark Krikorian about that coming up about 8:10 this morning. And, of course, Jim Carafano at 8:37 will get his take on that and some of the other issues out there. Right now, let's get to our guests, please. Glad to have former Missouri Senator Jim Talent back on the show this week with Bipartisan Policy Center. Jim, how are you?
I am fine, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What do you? I know that you served with Joe Biden in the Senate. What do you think about his run finally dipping his toe in the waters here?
I'm not really high on his chances. I think his support is broad but not very deep, and I don't know that he has a grip on a substantial block of voters who will stick with him, which is what you need in this kind of a primary. I think he has a soft hold on a lot of different kinds of voters, and that just invites everybody else who thinks they can get into his lane to go after him.
Yes.
So that's the nature of these primaries. I mean, you have got to, you know, you've got to, first of all, it helps a lot if you do better than expected. And given where he's starting from, that's going to be difficult for him. And second, you have to survive. I mean, and momentum is a lot. So. And also, you know, it's going to be hard for him to be authentically, I think, as angry as the others, because I don't think that's his style.
Right.
So, but we'll see. Listen, this process is crazy, as we saw a couple years ago with President Trump's arrival on the scene. So we just have to watch and wait and wonder.
You know, I found a story on The Hill. TheHill.com carried this story about Joe Biden's 2020 Ukrainian nightmare. Are you familiar with that story?
Well, this is the nightmare for a guest. No,
yeah,
I'm not.
No. I just wondered because it only came out here recently. Apparently, back in 2018, Joe Biden was at some foreign policy event, and he made a statement about how firm he had been with the Ukrainians in demanding that they fire this state prosecutor who's, let's see, what was his last name? I'm trying to think here. His last name was Shokin. There was a state prosecutor in the Ukraine. The U.S. promised them $1 billion in funds or loan guarantees or something like that. Listen to Joe Biden tell this story.
I guess the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference. Said, "No, I said I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting the $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was what, 6 hours. I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
So here's the rest of the story, according to The Hill. They claim that this Shokin, this prosecutor, was investigating wide-ranging corruption dealing with a natural gas firm called, it was called Burisma Holdings, which just so happened to employ Biden's younger son, Hunter, as a board member.
Mm-hmm.
And that, according to Shokin, he was getting ready to issue subpoenas on the executive board of that company, including Hunter Biden. And now we find out that Joe Biden insisted that the prosecutor, maybe for other reasons, be fired before the U.S. or the U.S. would withhold $1 billion in loan guarantees. I've
right.
never heard him explain this, and I think it's going to come back to bite him a little bit.
See, this is an example of the twofold problem he's got. First of all, he's been around a long time, and he's never really been under scrutiny. We've seen this. I wrote a column about, you know, his tendency to touch people, and I said, you know, he's only gotten a pass from the mainstream media, but this is a different environment, right? So we don't know what's there because there really hasn't been that kind of scrutiny before. And the second thing is, see, he tells that story, and it may have been, and you know, and I think Joe Biden's an honest guy. I mean, I served with him, so I would doubt that there was a conflict of interest thing. But doesn't the way he tell that story, it just sounds so inside baseball.
Yeah.
This is establishment maneuvering stuff, right? Now, it wasn't. I mean, if he's on the up and up with this, it was diplomacy and maybe good diplomacy. But look how it sounds, right? And I just don't think that's a tone that is really very effective in either party among the partisan bases right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's opposition research. I mean, The Hill reported it. What was the date on this? I'm trying to see. So April 7th. So they reported that about a week or two ago.
And all this
stuff
is going to come out.
Yes.
See, to the vice president, you know, this is a way of showing how effective he has been and could be in office. But, I mean, to the average person, it's, okay, you're flying over to the Ukraine and using our foreign aid, which we pay for with our tax dollars, as a bargaining chip to get something that we don't understand. You see?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. That, it comes across as kind of like out of touch unless you really have the context. Now, this was, I assume, a private talk he gave. He's not going to do this kind of thing on the campaign trail, but there's a lot of this stuff out there.
So, Jim, I have to ask, I saw an article again the other day about the Secretary of Defense position and the fact that the acting Secretary of Defense is still not been confirmed, that there may be some, I don't know if somebody's slowing down the process, but I saw that your name is still floating around out there. Is that something you would continue to have interest in?
It is floating around, but look, you know, we need to, the president needs to send somebody over to the Senate, and I think he likes to have actings because it gives him a lot of maneuverability. And I have learned watching Trump the last couple of years that he has a different take on things, which is really effective for him. But this is the kind of job where you need, you know, a permanently Senate-confirmed person, because they have to have the respect of the people they command. They have to be able to represent the department's equities in the rest of the administration. And they have to, you know, they represent the government in dealing with foreign military leaders a lot. So they need to send somebody down. And I'd be interested if they're interested, but we need somebody who wants to support this rebuild, and we need to get this decision made. And I think it's going to be made pretty quickly. If I had to guess, they're going to send Shanahan's name down. And, you know, he was a good deputy. If they do send him, I have no reason to believe he wouldn't be a good secretary.
Well, good. Well, I just wanted to ask the question because I saw a story on that again the other day. I appreciate your
being candid. And I mean to be disrespectful. I just said the first thing I thought, which is, and I've been thinking this for several weeks now, I get the whole acting thing.
Yeah.
I get the president, and he wants to make the right decision, and it works for him. But this is a department where the secretary really does have to do a lot within the department. And so he needs to get this decision made, and I think we'll see it pretty soon.
So off of that, let me ask you a question about a region of the world that doesn't get discussed enough. You and I have talked about it in the past, but it doesn't come up very often. And that is our relationship with China and the South China Sea. I have an aunt and uncle, believe it or not, who live in the Philippines. And they sent me a picture the other day, and off the coast of where they're staying right now was the USS Wasp, an aircraft carrier. And apparently it's over there. The news is all over the Philippines because the Philippine president is about to get in a shoving match with China. And my uncle points out that the U.S. has a treaty agreement to defend the Philippines in a situation like that. Do you know anything about that? And are we on the verge of getting into some altercation with China over there?
Well, I wouldn't describe it as being on the verge. Okay. But China is asserted sovereignty, basically, over the East and South China Sea, okay? Now, that's ridiculous, but that's what they're claiming. I mean, it's ridiculous in terms of international law. They're not backing down, and they are regionally the predominant military power. They've been pushing around their neighbors, including the Philippines. They took a shoal, like a little island called the Scarborough Shoal, from the Philippines about 5 years ago, basically. They just isolated it and forced the Filipinos off of it. And yes, the Philippines, we have a mutual defense treaty with the Philippines. Now, it's not clear whether it extends to some of these shoals, okay? But it is clear what the Chinese are doing and why. They're pressuring, and they're pressuring our allies. And one of the reasons is they're trying to show that they are the boss of that area and the United States can't do anything about it. And this is why the president has quite correctly named our competition with China as the national challenge that we're confronting. And they're doing a lot about it, but we're starting from a depth because we dug such a deep hole. And don't get me going on it, you know, but we just did. And we are weaker than they are in that region, and they are using their strength.
Militarily and economically, both we're in a struggle with them because if you're not, I mean, I know that we used to have several big bases in the Philippines. Didn't we have to pull out of some of those a few years back?
Yeah, in the first Bush administration, we lost the Subic Bay naval base. And of course, at the time, I mean, there was a squabble with the Filipinos about how much we were paying. And I get all that.
Yes.
But at the time, of course, we all thought history had ended. I didn't. That's one mistake I didn't make. And that, therefore, none of this was necessary. Well, we sure could use that naval base now. Now, what we have been doing, the administration has been very good at this, is strengthening our ties with the Filipinos. And I think, you know, increasing military cooperation, trying to build back up. But this is hard to turn the ship of state around. They're doing a good job, but we got a long way to go to catch up. And I'm very concerned about it. I mean, it's my number one. I got a lot of big national security concerns, but this is the one that will be the hardest because the Chinese are tough, they're strong, they're economically strong, they're innovative, and they're challenging us across every domain. I mean, I'm about to go to a hearing on their space program, and we ought to do an interview on what their plans are for space because people would not believe it. They have a concrete plan to to actually dominate the cislunar environment industrially as well as economically. I mean, they want to extract minerals from the moon.
Wow.
It sounds your listeners are saying, oh, that's crazy. It's not crazy.
It's not, no.
They landed on the far side of the moon. I mean, they have very... Now, a lot of this capability they've stolen from us, but they've got it, and they're building on it. And if they get that kind of dominance, I mean, look, if this were the Japanese or something, I'd say, go to it. You know, we'll all benefit. But they'll do the same thing in the cislunar environment that they're doing in the South China Sea. We can't kid ourselves. And yes. We depend on space.
You know, I did read an article the other day that the Chinese were either hacking into or using U.S. satellites.
Oh, don't get me going, because we'll take the rest of the hour on this. I am so angry at this. A Chinese state-owned enterprise has partnered with Carlyle Group, an American investment fund, and started a company called, well, this is years ago, AsiaSat, which is a Hong Kong company, and have bought satellites from American companies and are leasing or selling a lot of this broadband space to the Chinese government, and including the Chinese military, and they're using it to put down rebellion and repress Tibet and Xinjiang province, while they dropped, as customers, Radio Free Asia and the Voice of America. And then we have American companies involved in all this. Well, I think the commerce, this was a story that broke 2 days ago in the Wall Street Journal, and I bet Wilbur Ross's head exploded when he read it. So we'll see what's done about that. But this is how competitive they are. And across all of these domains and all, economic, diplomatic, the One Belt, One Road, science research. I mean, this is a major challenge. And one of the things that concerns me, Mark, is we get so tied up with our internal fights, that we're not seeing this. We need to unite, at least as regards this. And I like to see some of these presidential candidates talking about it.
Well,
now this would be something where Biden could be distinctive,
sure.
If he went out and talked about this.
Yeah, and among the candidates that are declared, he's probably really the only one with any foreign policy experience.
That's right.
Yeah,
see, we brought it back. Isn't this good radio? We brought it back to the main, the main lead of the interview. We brought it back to Biden.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going to go, but you talked about it, you at least referred to it, during the Obama administration, the attitude seemed to be the 80s are calling, they want their foreign policy back. They seem to think that they had it all figured out. In the meantime, we're ignoring the needs of the military. We weren't paying nearly enough attention to Russia. I had to listen to Donna Brazile try to defend. President Obama did all he could to warn Russia about dabbling in our 2016 election. Well, apparently not. And now, Hillary Clinton's got a op-ed in the Washington Post saying that's why she lost the election in 2016.
Yeah, I agree. He was. Now, I will say, and I always do say this, I've said this 100 times, that Obama's policy on China was much better than in really any other part of the world. And he laid the foundation for a lot of what Trump is doing. And I give him credit for that. I do. It was called the rebalance policy. And he began to refocus American foreign policy in Asia on the competition with China. Now, Trump has really catalyzed it and operationalized it. But he was better there, and I give him credit for it. But, go back to the reset. Google the Russian reset and the pictures of Hillary with the Russian foreign minister, and then this big red reset button.
I remember.
Rolling. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I remember it.
We're pushing this reset button with Russia, and now Russia's the big enemy. So we're now at war with Atlantia, right? They were completely taken in. They gave him, the worst thing we've done with Russia in the last 20 years was they gave him the missile defense bases that Bush had agreed to build with the Poles and the Czechs.
In Eastern Europe.
He couldn't have believed his good fortune. We just gave it to him.
Wow. Jim, I'm out of time, but a great, great conversation as always. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it got me going. Thank you.
That's good. We'll talk to you soon. Former Senator Jim Talent, bipartisanpolicycenter.org. How about that?
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
That's why today I'm announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. Folks, America's an idea. An idea that's stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant.
Don't screw around with me.
See, I'm trying to help Crazy Uncle Joe. Creepy Uncle Joe here. A little Beatles music. All right, let's enough of that. Let's get to our guest, please. Good morning to Mr. Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
Todd Starnes, good morning to you. Big old breaking news on Creepy Uncle Joe.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Todd Starnes radio program has exclusively obtained the official Joe Biden campaign song. We're going to be playing that at 12:05 Eastern today. Reach out and touch somebody's back.
we could just come up with a whole list of potential songs for Joe's creepy campaign.
His favorite gospel hymn, He Touched Me. Oh, He Touched Me. Never mind.
Hey, Madonna, maybe we could, Lady Madonna, maybe we could use that one. I watched this clip this morning. He has to go back to race baiting in his attempt to convince people that he's the only person to save America.
Yes, Joe Biden, the known plagiarist and follicle smeller, he also drug up a lot of stuff about Charlottesville, apparently going to make this about race. Which is peculiar since he's white and old. And according to the Democrat Party, those things are not acceptable in a presidential candidate. Here's my concern, and this we have to be able to talk about this as bad as it is. He misrepresented and flat out lied about what Donald Trump said about Charlottesville.
Correct.
We've got to set the record straight there. Because, again, the point Donald Trump was trying to make is that there are people out there who believe that a statue of Robert E. Lee is perfectly okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Those are not bad people. And that was the point he was trying to make. So we've got to be diligent, and we've got to call the Democrats out on these lies. And I'm really frustrated by that. But we got to do it.
I'm glad you brought that up. I've got Trump's original statement here, and I thought it was important to play. Hold on. What have I done wrong here? Oh, there we go. Let's try it.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides.
And that's what people got hung up on. And I pointed out there were people there who supported the statue. There were people there who were opposed to the statue. There were white supremacists who had their own agenda. And there were members of Antifa there as well. There were good people on both sides, and there were bad people on both sides.
And here's the dirty secret. So the mainstream media and the leftists, they want America to believe that if you support Robert E. Lee statues, if you support the Sons of the Confederacy, then you are just as bad as the white supremacist. That's what they're trying to tell. That's what they're saying when they go after President Trump on this.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree completely. You know, here's my question about Joe Biden, and I haven't done the research on this yet. I need to know if he made any reference to Easter worshipers after the Sri Lanka bombings.
Well, even more importantly, I want to know if he has a recording of Kate Smith in his record collection.
Yeah, that's true. I heard they're trying to pull her one of her songs now. They won't play it anymore at the beginning of sporting events. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's even worse than that. So Kate Smith was recognized by Franklin Roosevelt, and he credited her with helping defeat the Nazis because she raised, in today's money, it would be around $11 billion
for
the war bonds. She was, you know what, she was, I'm trying to figure out the perfect you know, the appropriate modern-day comparison, almost like an Adele, I think, of her time. She was, I mean, she made no bones about it. She was a 250-pound woman, and she had a powerful singing voice. And, you know, she caught a lot of flack from that, from a lot of people. But the American people loved her, and they embraced her, and she became one of the most famous singers of all time. She, you know, of course, recorded the beautiful rendition of God Bless America. It became a tradition to play that after 9/11 at Yankee Stadium, as well as with the Philadelphia Flyers. And they even erected a giant bronze statue of her outside of the arena. that statue has now been pulled, and they are now refusing to play her rendition of the song, because back in the 1930s, more than 80 years ago, she recorded a song for a movie, a Hollywood movie, that is now considered racially offensive. So again, this is a big issue, because now the question is, do you go back and inspect Joe Biden's past and everybody else's past back, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great point. Where does that end? I went to one of the newspapers, I think it was the Daily Mail. They've got an article on Mickey Rooney, and they're blasting him because of stories from the 1930s, apparently, when he invited actresses for roles that didn't exist and used them on the casting couch instead. So now, I mean, it just never ends.
No, and it won't end. We're entering a very dangerous period in American history, and this is the focus of my new book coming out at the end of the summer, Culture Jihad. And we're getting to the point where it's about, and I know this is going to sound ludicrous, but I think they want to basically erase, punish, and then erase all history that came before the 21st century.
Right, right. And then issue reparations for anybody who was offended.
That's right.
That's it.
That's it.
Todd Stearns, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you. We'll look forward to your radio show. Thank you.
Glad to do it. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Fox News Radio, of course, in the afternoons here. And you can listen to Todd's updates here on FM News Talk 97.1. Isn't that ridiculous? Why is that a story? Isn't Mickey Rooney dead? Mickey Rooney died, right? Alive or dead, Wiggins?
Dead.
He's dead, right?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
I love that game.
I think, he died April 6th, 2014 at the age of 93.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. And today there's a story out about the dark side of Mickey Rooney, how he lined up auditions with young actresses on the casting couch.
Really?
What's the purpose of that? I don't understand what the purpose of that story was. I'm not saying that if he did that, it was okay. What I'm saying is it wasn't uncommon at that time in Hollywood. That's where the term casting couch came from.
Fox News saying
you can't act
Mickey
like it didn't happen.
Saying he wore out the casting couch. Wow.
Almost.
Maybe
wore
he
out
overcasting
the casting couch.
Couched and it just had to be mentioned.
Maybe he didn't buy a high enough quality casting couch.
Yeah, maybe it was
couch.
Just an old couch.
It could have been. Good Lord. He was an absolute nightmare, according to an Australian TV personality, and nothing like his nice guy persona. Just in case you ever had a positive thought about Mickey Rooney, they're going to ruin that for you.
Everybody woke up this morning thinking great things about Mickey Rooney.
I know.
And then this happens.
Somebody's
unbelievable.
Like, not today, world.
What are you going to do?
Today's
all
a
right.
Great Mickey Rooney day. Wait, the Mark Cox Morning Show is on.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, keeping an eye on what's going on with this Joe Biden announcement. We've got a poll up on the Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show on Facebook. Go tell us what you think. You think he can win the Democratic primary in 2020? We'll tally up the votes and let you know tomorrow morning how it's going. Tricia drew my attention to this. This measles outbreak has gotten worse. 695 people impacted now. It doesn't seem like a huge number, but up in New York, it's a particular problem. Apparently, it's been hitting the Jewish community in New York particularly hard. And what were you telling me about a minute ago? They're trying to force people to get vaccines?
Yeah, mandatory vaccinations from the New York Public Health Commissioner, I believe. And there's been some lawsuits. It's like the Orthodox predominantly Jewish community, Orthodox Jewish community. A couple of parents have filed lawsuits, and I think they lost. I think a judge upheld the ruling.
That they had to have, hold on, I've got something popped up here. They have to have these vaccinations to go out.
I think it's similar to what we were discussing with Dr. Tobler a few weeks ago. Schools and
so they issued summons to 12 parents for failing to vaccinate their children, a violation of an emergency order. I don't know if you're an anti-vaxxer or not. I'd love to know how people feel about that. To me, I don't know how you enforce something like that. I don't know if I agree with the government enforcing something like that. I think to me, it's like a helmet law.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to ride a motorcycle and not wear a helmet, that's your choice. but you better agree up front that if you get in an accident and you're a vegetable, the taxpayers don't have to pay for it.
Right, but it's different in the sense that if you're not wearing a helmet, you're putting yourself at risk. If you're not getting vaccinated, you're putting others at risk.
I'm only saying from the standpoint that the government forcing
mandating
you to
something.
Do that.
I so agree.
From a government mandate perspective, I don't know.
Thing.
To me, it's just common sense. Because, you know, as Denise pointed out the other day before she left us for warmer climate on vacation.
Good for her.
What the people impacted by it, if people have an infant, you can't get them vaccinated until they're a certain age. So then you're putting them at risk because you've declined to vaccinate your own child. Remember back in 2000, they basically had eliminated measles. And now it's making a comeback.
Well,
this has got to have something to do with it.
This story seems really overblown to me, though, because there's been no deaths this year. There's been a total of 3 deaths in the last, like, 15 years due to measles. It just seems like one of those things that people are really rallying against anti-vax right now. And so let's use this as a story.
Yeah, but that could be.
But it's the highest. I mean, I kind of get it. I don't like the whole government coming down either. But when you, I mean, I also kind of get declaring the public emergency with it.
Yeah.
It's the highest in 25 years. This disease was eliminated. All of a sudden, it's running rampant in these neighborhoods. That's really not cool to do that to society.
The Hill's reporting that New York has the largest measles outbreak in the country. It has been concentrated among Orthodox Jews living in 4 zip codes. And apparently, the anti-vaccine movement has made a lot of progress in the vulnerable populations like New York's Orthodox community, which has led to high rates of vaccine refusal and overall hesitancy. I think the writing's on the wall. If you want to protect your kids, you get them vaccinated. If you don't, you're putting a number of people at risk, quite frankly. I don't know. My 2 cents. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk to Mark Krikorian. There is another illegal migrant horde heading up through central Mexico. They're now in Mexico City. They're heading for the U.S. border, 10,000 strong.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.